joining me on the line is the regional director of the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches, Rick Buck. Rick, a common question that gets raised is, does the Old Testament have God harsher than in the New? Is that warranted?
It's unfortunate that as someone who's read through the Bible many, 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 many times, I quickly react to something like that because I just feel like it's something where people haven't really read their Bibles. Otherwise, I'm not sure they would be able to say that accurately. One of the great themes in the Bible is not just God's wrath towards sin, particularly now I'm thinking of the Old Testament, but God's incredible patience with humanity. When God is revealing his glory to Moses in the book of Exodus, we see this. It talks about where God sort of proclaims his glory, and he says to Moses, "I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love." And God describes himself in these ways. And so, you know, there's many places in the Old Testament where this kind of description of God, where he's slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiveness. Yes, he does judge sin and will judge sin, but he does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 33:11 says. He wants everyone to repent and live. God doesn't want to judge anyone. He wants to show mercy. So why I say that is because we have this image in the Old Testament that is so filled with God's wrath and with his judgment. But the truth is, if you're reading your whole Bible carefully and you go through your whole Old Testament, you'll just see passage after passage of God's incredible mercy working, you know, even with the nation of Israel again and again and again. They turn their backs on God and God forgives them again and again and again. So I would say God is just so much more merciful and more forgiving, and the Old Testament sort of underscores that. Along with that is this interesting piece of people not realizing that Jesus, more than any other person in the Bible, talked about hell and judgment. Mm-hmm. And hell is a far greater punishment than any earthly sort of temporal judgment that you might see in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus takes very seriously about the importance and warning people about the reality of hell. He tells the parable of Lazarus and the rich fool and basically explains that once an individual is facing the judgment of hell, there's no exit door there. And he just warns how significant that is. So this is the balancing act, right? You get these folks who see the Old Testament with this unbelievable harshness when in reality they're missing all the amazing passages and demonstration of God's grace, mercy, and compassion. And then you see them thinking of Jesus as just the nice guy, the loving guy, and miss completely about how he underscores eternal judgment, which is, again, far greater and more significant than any earthly expression of God's judgment or wrath. So I don't know if that helps.
No, absolutely. That's a great distinction. And you raised a red flag to a question like this. Maybe there being a greater issue of not fully reading the whole counsel of God. But would you also put blame anywhere in how we as Christians have caricatured parts of the Bible that has led people astray in asking a question like this too?
Oh, yeah. I think it's context is king. And context is king even in the way we relate to each other and have conversations. And we can misrepresent one another. And so it's so important, again, to teach the whole counsel of God and really give the balancing perspectives, theological perspectives that are throughout Scripture, and, you know, not just underscoring one theme or one element. We really have to be careful to say, okay, you know, here's a teaching of the Scriptures, very clear, but here's a balancing teaching. You know, we talk about the immanence of God. God is immanent. He's close, especially in incarnating his Son. But he's also transcendent. You know, he's a God who is beyond creation. He created all things, and so he's other than creation. And so we can't domesticate him, and so we have to recognize his transcendence, his otherness, his holiness. And so that balance of those two kinds of teaching, and you see that in almost every area of theology and doctrine and Scripture, and sometimes as Christians we're not very good at giving that whole counsel of God, we kind of, you know, shortchange things and want one particular theme, and that ends up leading to a great deal of error and distortion of who God is and what he's about.